I'm going to preach what I think is a two-part series today. I'll start here in this service and follow up in the next service and maybe dig a little bit deeper than I'm going to dig in this first service. Matthew chapter 21. And when Jesus called his disciples, he called them all using the same terminology, follow me. He would just walk by and he would just say, follow me. And the 12, and they followed him. And in fact, every Christian, when you're born again, that's really the command that you have for your Christian experience. Follow him. Follow Jesus. Look to the Lamb and all that you do and all that you experience. But this passage that I'm about to read is not the first time that the Apostle John heard Jesus say, follow me. He had followed him for 3.5 years. He had seen the miracles. He had seen the ministry. He was involved in every aspect, being part of the inner circle. But yet at the end, after the crucifixion and just after the resurrection and just before the ascension, Jesus calls him again. And I want to share that with you here. John chapter 21, beginning with verse 18. Actually, he's speaking to Peter. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, meaning when you were immature, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for your presence and your goodness. We thank you for your exceeding grace, Lord, your mercy that you pour out upon us every day. Lord, as people begin to give offerings today in support of this ministry, I would ask you that you would bless the people, that you would bless the families, that you would do so in such a way that they will understand that their support of the kingdom of God is what's brought additional grace into their lives. And Father, I'd ask you that you'd use me this morning to make a certain sound in the ears of your people and into my own ears. Father, that we might grow in your grace and grow in the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen. So he says, Jesus says, when thou shalt be old, meaning that you're mature, let me back up a little bit. When thou wast young, meaning when you're immature, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, meaning you've reached a level of maturity. When thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth their hands, and somebody else will dress you. And someone else will carry thee, whether thou wouldest not. And what he's talking about is the person of the Holy Spirit. As we mature in Christianity, the Holy Spirit is who dresses us. You don't get to wear anything you want to. I can already tell this is going to be tight. He carries you where you wouldest not, meaning you can't go anywhere you want to go. You go where he tells you to go. And sometimes he'll tell you to go places that you don't want to go. But because we've reached a level of maturity in Christ, we're obedient to the Holy Spirit, even when we don't like it. Here's something I've noticed through the years. Many times, maybe a majority of times, if the Lord speaks directly to me, he's telling me what I don't want to hear. Am I the only one? Not necessarily what I wanted to hear. Silence maybe would have been better. Because he's telling me that's contrary to what I am. He goes on to say, this spake he by what death he should glorify God. So he's saying to Peter that I'm going to carry you to a place that you're actually going to be called upon to lay down your life for me. I mean, your natural life. I mean, died. Peter was crucified on the cross upside down. Now, you and I are maybe perhaps not called to die a physical death. We don't know yet. You don't know till you die what he's called you for. But it goes on to say, and when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Now, he had told Peter 3.5 years ago, follow me. And now he's saying it again. But it's from a new perspective. When he first called Peter to follow him, he said, follow me. And Peter left the nets and he just followed Jesus. But this time, Peter has just watched Jesus be put on a cross in Jerusalem, be put on a whipping pole and beaten. He had just seen him die on that cross. And Jesus turns around and says, now, Peter, I want you to follow me. It puts a whole different emphasis on it. We have in the modern church what I call Christianity light. It's a light version of Christianity. It's a Christianity with no commitment, no pain, air conditioning and cushioned seats. But real Christianity is not that. Real Christianity puts weight on you and constantly changes you and molds you, because Jesus said, follow me. And that means you follow Jesus into the same commitment he had to the will of the Father. You follow him into the same, although he died a physical death, you and I have been called to die the death of the cross. It means a diminishing and an ending of self. How many know self is the devil? I mean, he can cause a lot of problems. And because we love self, and because our society is set up that glorifies self, and it's all about self, we find ourselves in a real struggle when something comes upon us and the Lord causes us to diminish in self. It seems very contrary. And we sometimes resist. And sometimes we just flat out say no. Often times we say no. Here's what backsliding is. Backsliding is not turning around and leaving God. Backsliding is when you refuse to go forward with the things of God. The term backsliding is a farmer's term. The word picture is the farmer trying to take the mule to go through the gate, and the mule doesn't want to go through the gate. And so the mule slides back on his haunches, and the farmer's not able to pull it through the gate. And you can beat the mule, you can pull its ears or whatever, and maybe you might get it to move, but God won't beat you and he won't pull your ears. If you slide back, backslide, he'll leave you right there, and you can stay there 10 years, 20 years, you can stay right there, and God will leave you there. And you'll hear the voice of the Holy Spirit grow softer and softer each time the Spirit is quenched, each time the Spirit is grieved, softer and softer. But the overall command, the overall instruction that you and I have, follow me. He simply wants us to follow him. I'm much deader today than I was the day I met him. I mean, as Paul said, I die daily, every day. And I find that there's a need for me to continue to die. There's still too much alive. I woke up, I took a quick nap Friday, just prior to the relationship seminar. And when I woke up, I could tell, nobody said anything. I woke up, I'm still laying in bed. Nobody said a word to me, but I could tell I was agitated on the inside. Anybody ever woke up like that? And so quietly, I got dressed and I told my wife, I'm going to the church and pray for a while. And as I'm driving to church, I could tell I was being a little too aggressive in the traffic. The agitation was just pushing me. I was just... And finally, after, you know, spending a few moments with God, it seemed to subside. But that experience lets me know you're not dead yet. There's still something alive in there that God's not pleased with. Jesus said this to all of us in the book of Matthew, chapter 16. This is He said this any number of times across the four Gospels. Matthew 16, 24. Then said Jesus to his disciples. How many is a disciple of Jesus? How many walk in the discipline of Jesus Christ? He said to his disciples, if any man, that means any member of the human race, will come after me, let him, number one, deny himself. Now, this term self is really targeting the self that I was just explaining. That each one of us, you're a self. You can't help but to be a self. But God, that self that you and I are is totally corrupt. He's totally corrupt. He cannot be salvaged. He cannot be improved upon. He must be crucified. He must be done away with. And Jesus said, if any man is going to come after me, you have to be willing and you have to practice denying self. He is the problem. He's the problem. He's the problem with our finances. He's the problem with our relationships. He's the problem in our careers. He's the problem in our slowness to grow spiritually. He is the core problem of every aspect of our life. Self, the big I. The satanic trio, me, myself, and I. That's the problem. Now, I'm not picking on you. I've got a self that I got to deal with. And here's the thing. I can't deal with yourself. You can't deal with myself. We each have the responsibility of dealing with ourselves. Realizing that we're called to, number one, deny ourselves. And then, as if that weren't enough, and to take up the cross. Now, we are confused sometimes about the cross, and we wear a beautiful necklace with a crucifix on it. That's not the cross. The cross is an instrument of death. The purpose of the cross is to eliminate the person who's bearing it, to do away with them completely. And that's exactly what Jesus means here when he says deny yourself and take up the cross. He's saying self must be laid dormant. He must be eliminated. And it doesn't happen in a week, a month, or a year. It takes a moment. Let him deny himself, take up the cross, and then he's ready to follow me. Now, what he's laid out here is a progression. You first you take up a heart posture and a desire to deny yourself, and you begin to deny yourself. And then as you're denying yourself, you begin to allow the cross to impact you more and more as your knowledge base grows. And now you're both denying yourself and you're taking up your cross daily. And only when you are doing those can you even begin to follow him. Listen, Jesus, this is going to sound hard. I don't mean it this way. Jesus didn't go to the Super Bowl. How'd you get there? Jesus doesn't go to the entertainment places of the world. How is it that Christians get there? Jesus would wake up in the morning, the will of my Father, the will of my Father, the will of my Father. When he went to bed at night, the will of my... A woman would be crazy to marry Jesus. Because he ain't thinking about you. He thinking about the will of my Father. That's why many times preachers can't just be married to anybody. It won't last. You got to have two people both that are concerned with the will of the Father. But many times we practice Christianity light. And we don't make that full commitment to Jesus Christ. We have an example of it and we always look at it. But we separate the scenario that Jesus gave us from ourselves as though, man, that guy must have been crazy. When we do the exact same thing. The book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 17, it says, and when Jesus was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? Now, verse 22 will tell us that this was the rich young ruler. He was well off. He had great possessions. He had money. He had a life. Put it that way. How many know when you have money, you can have a life? Usually it's a bad one, but it's whatever you bought with the money. So he comes to Jesus and he says, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus responds, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things have I observed, have I observed from my youth. He didn't say he did them. He said, I observed them. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. And what he's actually going to tell him in these next verses is, lay down your life. One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. Now the whole part of what he said, go sell your possessions and give it to the poor, he was saying, deny yourself. And then once you do that, now take up your cross. And then once you do that, now you can follow me and I will lead you to eternal life. Now, Jesus is not telling you and I to sell all of your possessions, but he is telling you and I, deny yourself. If your credit card is on max or halfway max, if you couldn't pay it off last month end, it's because you're not denying yourself. Amen. Good preaching. Good preaching. Because we get ourselves out of control. The lust of our hearts. We want and we want and we want. And we find ourselves in trouble because we're not practiced at denying ourselves. In fact, it sounds like a strange sound, doesn't it? But it's not. This is real Christianity. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, because he had great possessions. Now what we read here is a rejection of God's plan. Deny myself? No. I'm not following you. I'm going the other way. And we many times read this and say, well, he was crazy to do that. But yet we do the exact same thing. See, we protect our lives so that Jesus doesn't disrupt it. See, who's in the members of Christianity today, we're more than happy to add Jesus to our lives. What a blessing to have Jesus in my life. But it's not just that. He wants all of your life. He wants all of it. He doesn't just want you to put your offering, your money in the offering. Drop your whole life in the offering. That's what he wants. He wants it all. He wants to, when these disciples, they were, some of them had businesses. Levi was his name. He was a tax collector. The man had money. Much money. And when Jesus said, follow me, the Bible said he left it all. He walked away, left the money, left everything. I'm following Jesus. And his life, he never went back. His life was totally different. See, we want to add Jesus to our life to get rid of the addictions and get rid of those things that embarrass us or threaten our lives. And that's wonderful. That's good. But Jesus wants your whole life to use it for his glory. He wants it all. He wants every aspect of it. We're very measured. I will give you this much. If he had asked this rich young ruler for a large offering, no doubt the boy would have gave it to him. But he didn't ask for an offering. He said, I want your whole life. Leave it all behind you and come and follow me. And those saints, that's what it is for you and I. Right now, it's hidden by the veil of the prosperity of this nation. But if you were to strip away our prosperity, And as our prosperity is going to be stripped away, and as Christianity is going to come under persecution, you're going to find, I dare say, maybe even a majority of that calls itself Christian do exactly what the rich young ruler did. Walk away grieved. There won't be a whole lot. There'll be some, but not a whole lot that says, God, I'm with you to the death. I'm with you wherever, whithersoever. The scripture says, follow the Lamb whithersoever the Lamb goeth. My heart is, and I trust your heart will be as well. I'm going to follow Jesus all the way. Yeah, we're willing to add Jesus to our lives, but we're not willing to give our lives to him. Now, we say it. We say that with our mouth. But then when the request comes from the lips of the Holy Spirit, do this instead of that. Now the struggle starts. And it's okay if you're struggling. It's okay. All of us struggle. Sometimes I struggle. When, as a new Christian, a very young Christian, I was engaged to marry a young lady that we had been shacking for 5 years. We were like that. And then I got saved, but she didn't. And almost immediately, I wouldn't even say the week, God began to tell me, he saved my ex-wife in Germany and told me, I'm putting you back with her. Now the struggle starts. And it's not easy. I cried. The other girl, when I told her, God told me I can't marry you. I'd already told her mama. God says, you no. And it broke my heart. I remember laying on my couch and crying over this thing. But I moved forward with God, and man, looking back, boy, thank God I did. Because it was going to be a mess going the other way. But saints, I understand the struggle that we can have in trying to follow. It's a real struggle. It's the good fight of faith. But real Christianity is following him no matter what he says. As his mother Mary said, whatsoever he saith, do it. Walk in it. Walk it out. Because God will never tell you something that's ultimately going to hurt you or put you in a worse position. When he tells you something, you may not see the wisdom of it right now, but just walk it out. You will see the wisdom of it. And you'll see that he probably pulled you from a fire you didn't even know was burning around your ankles. And so the command from the Lord then is to take up your cross and follow me. Now, here's the reasons why you want to do that. I've got three reasons in the book of Romans, chapter 7. I'm going to give you three reasons, and no doubt there's probably many more than that, perhaps hundreds of reasons. But I'm going to give you three reasons why you want to deny yourself. Romans, chapter 7, verse 18, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." That's reason number one. In other words, Paul is saying, I recognize that I am totally corrupt. I recognize that the fall has rendered me a moral misfit, and I'm unable to function correctly in the moral realm because of this inward corruption. In me dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. That's the second reason. When I know something is good, I'm pretty much unable to do that which is good without the help in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'm dysfunctional. I'm saying I mean we. We're dysfunctional. So that's the second reason why we have to follow him in beginning to deny ourselves, take up the death of the cross, and follow after him. He's leading us out of death, and he's leading us into life. And all the grave clothes that we love to wear, all the things that bind us up that we call entertainment or we call recreation or we call hobbies, all those things have to fall off so that we can enjoy the fullness of the life that he gave us. For the good that I would, I do not. And the evil which I would not, that I do. That's reason number three. That's reason number three. Is that just because we know to do good is not a guarantee we're going to do it. And just because we know that something is bad is no guarantee we're not going to do it. That's why it becomes crucial that no matter what the cost, that we engage in denying ourselves, taking up the cross, and following him. He is the good shepherd. He's leading us to still waters. He's leading us from, you know, sheep are not very intelligent animals. You can pull them out of the ditch, and in 1 second, they turn around and jump right back in the ditch. They're not intelligent at all. And the Lord refers to us as sheep. And he's the shepherd, and he's trying to lead us out of that ditch. And as a good flock of sheep, we should follow our shepherd wherever the shepherd leads. But isn't it easy to go back to the ditch, jump back in there, just kind of waddle around in the ditch? Sometimes we dismiss the seriousness of what our salvation is. It is not just a one-time transformation. It is an ongoing command to cooperate in sanctification. The destination is Christ-likeness. I don't want to get there and I'm still Lincoln-like. I want to make sure I'm not Lincoln-like. And so when I woke up the other day and I could feel that agitation and I'm speeding through traffic and I'm aggressive and I'm like, this is not what's going to, this is Lincoln right here. This is Lincoln. And I've got to eliminate this guy. He's a problem maker. The book of Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, Jesus says this, and it gives you the seriousness of his attitude towards our bearing the cross. He says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Okay, stop right there. He meant what he said right there. It seems like, oh my God, did he mean that? It must be an allegory. It must be typology. No, he meant exactly what he said. If you love your mother or your father more than you love Jesus Christ, he will leave you with your mom and your daddy. As a matter of fact, he goes on to say, and he that loves his son or his daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, he's drawing some lines in the sand. God knows I love my baby. I've known her whole life. And I love her dearly. But the call is, I've got to love Jesus more. No matter what goes on with her, I got to follow Jesus. That's the call. And the last sentence, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me, he's not worthy of me. Now, saints, that's a tremendous statement. Jesus is so graceful, so kind, but don't get it twisted. As a matter of fact, he said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'm going to be ashamed of you before my Father. Don't get it twisted. And when he tells us that if any man, as a matter of fact, I believe it's in Luke, he said, if a man doesn't deny himself, take up the cross and follow after me, he is simply not worthy of me. Oh, I just read this here. If he doesn't take up his cross, he's not worthy of me. So, saints, we have to collectively catch ourselves and realize that this world is deceiving us to follow after this world rather than to follow after Jesus Christ. Are your habits, are your hobbies becoming more and more, or are they becoming less and less? Are your sports addictions, are they becoming more and more, or are they becoming less and less? Your activities that you do, whatever they are, are they becoming more as your Bible study is becoming less? Because that's not the direction that Jesus is leading us in. And sometimes we have to hear this because sometimes we have to be woke up. See, you can sing "Open the Eyes of My Faith," or whatever the lyrics of the song is, "Open My Eyes." You can sing that all day long, but it's not until you respond to the Holy Spirit that you're beginning to actually walk in it. If any man will come after me. Oh, here it is in Luke 14:27. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, that's tight. So you can't gloss over that. That is, it's the literal grammatical interpretation. It means exactly what it says, that if we don't practice self-denial, ongoing, progressively greater self-denial, bearing the impact of the cross and following after Jesus, he's saying there's no possibility because we're not cooperating with the Holy Spirit. I read this last little phrase. A.W. Tozer wrote this, and I've always enjoyed it. And I think it defines for you and I what the cross really means in your life. It's not just an ornament that you wear around your neck. The man in Roman days who took up his cross and started down the road had already said goodbye to his friends. Have you said goodbye to your friends? He was not coming back. He was not going out to have his life redirected or modified. He was going out to have his life ended. The cross made no compromise. It modified nothing. It spared nothing. It slew all of the man completely and for good. And it did not try to keep on good terms with its victim. It struck cruel and hard. And when it had finished its work, the man was no more. Saints, that's what we're called to bear. Not that we die a physical death, for the most of us. But it's the death of self, that person calls self. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we thank you so much that you've given us your word. We thank you that you've spoken with clarity. Lord, no doubt you've spoken this into many of our lives by virtue of your Holy Spirit. And you speak it today publicly to the body of Christ here locally and across our online experience. God, let it be followed with a heavy conviction of your Holy Spirit that we might catch ourselves, that we might consider the different addictive behavior that's in our lives and realize that's not denying ourselves, so that we pull back. Come on, all over the room this morning, if you're able, would you stand to your feet? Let's go to God together this morning. I don't know where you're at, but you do. And so just reach out right now and begin to ask God, Lord, I need help today. I want to follow you, Lord, but it is a struggle. There's areas of my life, oh God, that I'm unable to move through. I'm double-minded when it comes to certain things, giving them up, moving away from them. And I ask you, oh God, that you would help me. Show me how to deny myself. Teach me how to bear my cross. Be patient with me as I learn to follow you. But God, help me not to draw back. Come on, just reach out to the Lord this morning, would you please? Just reach out.
Amen. And Heavenly Father, I just pray that we have that desire to deny ourselves, Father God. Not just daily, but throughout the day, every day, that we can deny ourselves, that we will be able to say, your will and not mine, that we can have eternal life with you, God, Because without you, there is no need to even live. Amen. I just have a few announcements this morning. If you haven't already given, please do so to help support us in kingdom building. And thank you to all who helped with the relationship seminar. And on the 25th, we will be having a water baptism. Please see the slat board on the wall to sign up if you want to be baptized. And we thank you for coming out this morning. And for those of you who are attending online, we appreciate you for attending as well. And if you would like to, we will have 11 o'clock service coming up. So stay tuned and come back. You are dismissed.